Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
Williams setting up, checking down, pressure comes, and down he goes. That backside pressure from Infernie Jennings drops Caleb Williams back at the original line of scrimmage. Here come the Patriots with pressure. Picked up, Williams in trouble, down he goes. Dietrich Wise, his fourth sack of the year. Williams, pressure coming, right, and down he goes. Brendan Schooler got there. Here comes pressure from Pettis, and down Williams again, the sixth sack of the day for New England. Williams to work, rolling left, pressure comes, down he goes again. Infernie Jennings with his second sack today and the seventh New England sack. Williams in trouble and down he goes for the eighth time today. Williams, pressure again and nine sacks.
Nine.
Number 99 gets number 9 for New England.
Nine times.
We're back with more of the Spiegel and Holmes Show, live from Stadium Swim inside Circa Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It's not good when your quarterback gets hit that much, right, Speaks?
No, it is not. Fun fact on that drop, as explained there in the rejoin, great job by our guys, of course, the cut that's been played a lot of
9999999999.
It's not Adolf Hitler saying no over and over again. It's the principal from Ferris Bueller saying how many times Ferris has been gone. We used it a lot when the Bears were picking ninth in the draft.
No, it's both things.
Is it?
It's both drops. Yeah. Was it Inglourious Bastards?
Yeah, I think this one's Inglourious Bastards. Yeah, this drop is Inglourious Bastards.
Oh, that one's Inglourious
Bastards. And then we added Jeffrey, whatever his name
is. Whatever he is. He's a convicted pedo now.
Yes, he is.
Still worked him into the Beetlejuice movie.
Well, they sure did. They wrote him out of
the original one.
And the new one.
They wrote him out of the new one.
Oh, good, good.
In a crafty way.
Just saw the original Beetlejuice. Not that good.
All right, so correct my correction.
You're supposed to be our Hitler guy, right?
Yeah, no, Holocaust guy. Specifically the Holocaust. He's not pro-Hitler, he's just pro-Holocaust.
No, wait a minute.
Not pro-Holocaust, I'm sorry. He's just pro-bringing it up.
But we had both of those things. Yeah, we had Inglourious Bastards.
We did, that's right. We had everything. I'm sorry. Look.
Then Ferris Bueller.
Lawrence, I've been broken.
I get it. Just like Caleb Williams.
I have been broken by listening to Matt Eberflus again and again and again. And the turn that's happened, we're going to take your calls in a matter of moments here on the Score. The turn that's happened is that Eberflus now is trying to give people what he thinks that they want in desperate straits here. And to me, it was incredibly obvious at halftime of the Arizona game, after he got lambasted all week long and deservedly so for not taking accountability and pointing a thumb about the Hail Mary, not calling a timeout. He refused to do that.
Not giving up the 15 yards that Dan Quinn said was like the most important play of the game.
Right. So for not pointing a thumb all week, all of a sudden after halftime when they had the long touchdown run, he came out and told the sideline reporter this.
Yeah, we just got to be tighter there. You know, he popped the run in the last one. I call it a pass pressure, and that's on me. And I got to do a better job there.
It was like, oh, wow, he's pointing a thumb. Boy, that seems a little late. And then you talk to people during the week, as we did, and they were all like, yeah, that should not have precluded them from making a damn tackle. And he doubled down on that the next morning and the next afternoon, like, oh, yeah, no, that's on me. And then yesterday, Lawrence, here's all the times he said either accountability or responsibility on Sunday.
As a head football
after
coach, I'll just... disappointed, accepting accountability, for everything, and then really just looking inward at myself first. But again, we got to take a hard look, inward look, accept accountability, and then be accountable to the guy to the right and the guy to the left. Again, like I said, I'll take full responsibility for it.
He's desperately trying to give people what he now knows that they want, and it's all coming off disingenuous and desperate and really kind of sad. Like, I'm finding myself, like, put the man out of his misery. He is not a leader, and he knows it, and everybody involved knows it. Everybody around the league knows it, and yet they still just trot him out there to give you nothingness. Your guy Jason Leisure with the perfect tweet about the press conference, he said, there is nothing to report from this press conference today.
One of the things that bothers me is the idea of accountability just being the words. The fact that Matt Eberflus thinks now he can show that he's being accountable. There has to be action or change to back up the words of being accountable. And it feels like it's too little too late. It also feels like the thing that I look at with him in particular is it also feels like you were unaware of what you needed to take accountability for.
Right.
And you want to globalize it, and you want to just kind of, oh, yeah, well, I'm the head coach, so of course I'm accountable. The questions that have been asked of him, like the Herb Howard question yesterday.
Oh, man, that was, I thought it was the concept of that question I thought was beautiful, where he basically said, are you willing to be fired without making a change in offensive coordinator?
Are you willing to allow that guy? Are you willing to – do you have so – and this is why you can go up the chain. Are you, Matt Eberflus, willing to risk your job for Shane Waldron? Are you, Ryan Poles, willing to risk your job because of the faith that you have in Matt Eberflus?
Uh-huh.
And it's hard for anyone who's watching Bears football to – believe that either one of these guys, we are hoping that Ryan Poles is smart enough to realize he shouldn't want to be attached to Matt Eberflus, but he didn't do it before.
Yeah,
when he had an opportunity, he doubled down and then he tripled down on it. And with Matt Eberflus, maybe we'll see. Well, we're going to move on from Shane Waldron, but that then goes back to the bigger picture questions about, why'd you hire him?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, what did he do? How was he able as an offensive coordinator to come into a room and convince you, a high-level defensive coordinator, that he knew what the bleep he was talking about? How is that possible?
Yeah, man. I don't know. I wonder if from the Bears fans' perspective, listening to Eberflus, it feels as similar to some of our past experiences as it does to me, where like a coach or a manager ends up so obviously overwhelmed and so obviously out of his depth that it just becomes freaking noise. And it happened to me with Matt Nagy, of course, and it happens with football coaches, but also happened with La Russa. It also happened with Pedro Grifol. Like, after a certain point, it's like, what are we doing here? And we need to listen in case we learn stuff, but it becomes such a frustrating and empty, useless existence to listen to the dude who's so obviously out of his depth.
He feels like he's completely out of his depth, and it's not fun for anyone involved. And it's so frustrating because there is still some season left, and yesterday should have been their opportunity to feel great about themselves. And what it shows me is that there was a lack of preparation organizationally to get them ready for that game. And how do you overcome that? I don't see how anyone should be able to overcome that who's in charge of this football operation. You ready to talk some people?
Let's do it, man. Let's let the people talk. I know people are either angry or sad or confused or whatever. Let's hear what they are.
312-644-6767. Let's go out to Indy and talk with Thomas. Hey, Thomas, you're on Spiegel and Holmes.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. So maybe hindsight's 2020 with this one, but I think if we even go and look back to, like, Ryan Poles, when he first took the job, you could kind of see it now that his whole process was skewed from the get-go, and I think that's what led us to where we are now. I mean, when he first inherited the roster, it was like he kind of committed to a rebuild but kind of didn't. He kept Justin Fields, who at the time was, you know, young and promising. He still is young, but some may say he's not very promising. But he kept him and stripped the roster down to nothing. And it was kind of like he wanted to win and see if he could win with Fields, but at the same time didn't really want to win for draft picks. And then we're seeing the same thing here again, where he kept Matt Eberflus from continuity and wanted to win, but he also wanted a new quarterback that was his own. So he went and got a new quarterback. He got rid of the OC, but got his, you know, new OC so he could keep Eberflus for continuity. And you just kind of look through the whole thing, and you know, it's fun to laugh at Matt Eberflus, and he's clearly overwhelmed, but he's just a product of the problem. I think at this point, I think we need to start looking at polls here and say, what even is his process? I mean, what is
Tony, here's the thing. I appreciate what you're saying, and I know that this is something that happens on Sports Talk, that we climb the ladder and we go, well, it's not this guy. It's really this guy. It's not this guy. It's this. No. It's him and the other guy. You don't have to exclude anyone. You don't have to show Matt Eberflus grace in this moment. It's him. And it can be Ryan Poles. And it can be Shane Waldron. All of those things can be true.
Uh-huh.
We don't have to, like, minimize how badly Matt Eberflus has done his job by going, well, I mean, his boss has done a bad job, too. All of them can be guilty of that.
There's one thing about Poles' vision and his team building that I'm never going to make the same mistake about again, which is thinking that you can get away with inferior offensive line and defensive line while building a great secondary as the best unit on your defense and building a great skill position set as the best unit on your offense. I mean, they thought that they were just going to scare teams with their skill guys, and then that would allow them to run the ball on occasion when they needed to. You know what I mean? And they thought that this quarterback could be dropped in, but it's an insult to football intelligence and wisdom, because look around the league, you got to be strong on the lines. And you can look at Detroit, and you can look at Green Bay, which is coming. Matt LaFleur is going to have a run-heavy game plan, because he will do that, and they have done that, whether it's Rodgers or Favre.
Or Willis.
Or Willis. But even when it's Rodgers and it's Favre, and it's seemingly a great group of skill talent, as Nick Sirianni likes to say, they've always been able to run the ball, and that has always enabled skill guys to look a little better than they are, perhaps, and the quarterback to have it even easier than he could, perhaps. It's just like Jim Harbaugh said about Justin Herbert in the offseason. How are we going to make him better? We're going to give him a running game. That was his answer, and he was right, and Poles' vision of what he could do was wrong.
And you can look to the evidence of your opponent yesterday and see how it can work, even against a really good defense. Run the ball, play action, move guys across the formation, and look how easy. Like, if you go back and just watch the throws that Drake May made, the level of difficulty on those throws was not high. There was maybe one.
The first explosive play, because they had a bunch of explosive plays.
They had way too many.
Bears had none. They had an 18-yard pass to DJ Moore, and they had a 15-yard penalty. That was their second biggest gaining play of the day yesterday, was a 15-yard penalty. But the first explosive play on the pass to Hooper, Austin Hooper, I thought was a great ball by Drake May. He had a couple good balls down the field, but there were a lot of very easy throws, to your point. And it's the theory. It's the same theory.
If the window's opened up, and then you're ready to just give him an open look. Let's go to Villa Park and talk with Bob. Hey, Bob, you're on Spiegel and Holmes.
How you doing?
Good, Bob.
What's up, Bob?
I never hear anybody talk about the elephant in the room. And on the TV or the radio, anybody. And that is, this offensive line is so bad. I don't care who your quarterback is. Bob, we literally just talked about it.
How can you say that you haven't heard anyone talk about it? We literally talked about how Ryan Poles and Ian Cunningham can't build an offensive line, and they're two offensive linemen.
Oh, okay. I missed that.
Bob, is this your first time listening in 25 years?
No, Bob, I understand. It was in the last 30 seconds. That's a tough ask for you to hear that before you call.
Come on, Bob. Be better.
We haven't had a superstar offensive lineman since Covert and Olin Cruz.
That's a really long time.
Is that true?
15 years in between guys. Those two guys.
But let's think about it. Who's the bad? Thanks, Bob, for the call. The offensive line is a problem. We agree. Who's the last badass like superstar offensive lineman? Like
Orlando Pace on the back end.
I would say Kyle Long.
Yeah, who made a Pro Bowl? Kyle, Cody Whitehair made a Pro Bowl, I believe.
Those are guards.
I'm saying
they don't play the line.
Hey, they need all of them. They need all these guys.
They do. But like, you know, you draft Penei Sewell or you trade for Laramie Tunsil. You know, you slot these things in.
You're looking for a guy to do what Sewell was doing last night.
Yes.
What he's done all season.
Right.
Like if someone wants to give me Jessup Penei Sewell tape, I will watch it. Because what that guy has done this year is really, really awesome.
Can I interest you in someone who plays multiple positions, like a Doug Kramer maybe?
Oh, dude. I feel so bad for Doug Kramer.
Don't.
He's just a dude trying to make a team as a backup center. And then they ended up finding this kind of glorious and fun role as
some things that he can do.
Yeah, they found the mini fridge role for him, and it was adorable. And then they've left him on the roster in part, I'm sure, because of that mini fridge role. And then he gets forced into action because of the injuries and because homeboy had a bad back that we will talk about a little bit later.
He did not have a good game yesterday when playing guard.
Doug Kramer was obliterated by everybody. And has no utility on the roster as a legit offensive lineman. He's supposed to be your eighth guy in your mini fridge if he even makes a game day roster. And all of a sudden he's out there being asked to do real NFL things, and it did not go well for Doug.
I will stay with the nomination of Kyle Long being a badass.
As a superstar?
I mean, he was the most visible person on those teams for a couple of seasons. Yeah. Like, he was the most popular bear for a while. And he made, what, three Pro Bowls? That counts.
Okay. All right.
And as far as, like, the physicality of the guy, I don't know if we've seen since someone athletically as qualified as Kyle Long was, and it just became a matter of matching the technique to his athleticism, and then the injuries overwhelmed
him. Every team that the Lions play or the Texans play is worried about you running behind those guys.
No doubt.
And so you can use that fear to your advantage. You know, that's a game changer for an offense and an offensive game planner.
Look who's checking in. It's our buddy Shad. Hey, Shad, you're on Spiegel and Holmes. Oh. I thought we had him. My bad. It's okay. You know, here's what we'll do. We'll take a break.
We can do that.
And when we come back, what we'll do is we'll talk a little bit more and we'll take more phone calls with you, because we know that Bears fans are upset. We know that you guys you want to get into it. Why don't we share some of the ugliness that was going on inside of the broadcast of this game, too?
Dude, it ain't just us. They knew what they were watching, just like you did. And we'll mix that in with all the phone calls. That'll be a good way to go as we roll on from Circa here on Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to distribute to everybody, Laura, almost like a point guard, Caleb Williams.
It's interesting because he's been a shooting guard his whole life, right? But now he's being asked to play point guard, and it isn't easy. Matt Eberflus said they continue to teach and preach that each week. They go through Caleb's point guard plays, not his highlights that we'd show per se, but the games he's had a quarterback rating over 100. He's had three so far where he distributed the ball to his skill guys. They want him to keep getting these assists.
But what happens if the point guard comes down the court and nobody can get open for him to pass the ball to?
Look, I think that there is room for us to discuss some of Caleb's actual problems, and I promise you that on this show we will talk about that. We are not trying to take blame away from the Bears quarterback, but we are trying to paint a picture of what he's surrounded by and what the struggles are and what the limitations are for a quarterback in this type of system,
yes,
with this coordinator.
Yeah, and I think we're trying to make sure that everyone understands how guys get ruined and how guys get damaged. And to take away, as you said earlier, the binary possibilities of this, Justin Fields was undoubtedly damaged by bad coaching and bad organization and all of that. I still very much feel, with the way I did, that the ceiling of Caleb Williams is a higher ceiling than Justin Fields. And that has not changed, and I don't think that will change from a scouting perspective. And, oh, by the way, Justin Fields is on the bench in Pittsburgh with a different set of circumstances.
But he was definitely damaged,
and I never said that he wasn't.
But he was a better version of himself in Pittsburgh.
Absolutely.
Than what he was here.
Yes, but still a limited version of what the NFL would desire.
Absolutely. And the hope is that Caleb Williams can reach beyond that because he does have so many weapons as a passer. Whether we're talking about arm angle or throwing on the run or arm strength. But I'm not sure that he's been put in the best. Actually, I am sure of that. I am sure that he has not been put in the best position.
Absolutely. But to go back to the global angle, I still believe with the contract clock and the chance at having a new option that you can maybe shoot for the ceiling with, that you do that and you will do it again. Like, you have to keep doing that in the NFL. You have to keep trying for that.
You do.
But you also need to have a atmosphere that's conducive for the young quarterbacks learning.
But you might have also wanted, you know, more offensive linemen, and maybe all of them look better if you were able to protect them instead of having 9 quarterback sacks on your resume for a couple guys. Like, that's horrible.
What if they traded a 4th-round pick for a kick-ass center and signed a lower-level free agent wideout instead of Keenan Allen when it was a position that you were going to draft anyway, or drafted a kick-ass lineman at 9 instead of Roma Dunze,
Those
right?
are all things that you could have done and yes. you didn't do. If Bears fans weren't the only ones who were upset with what they were watching yesterday, old Moose was on the call with our buddy Kevin Kugler. And he had some stuff to say, including the idea of not wanting to simplify, and I'm using air quotes for those who can't see me on Twitch, simplify the offense for Caleb.
But if you're Caleb Williams, and you're this offensive brain trust of the Bears, I mean, the only things that have worked for you are the quick timing routes, 3 steps an hour.
Yeah, and you know what? If you have to reduce your offense down, then you have to do that. And when both your tackles are out, there's a great possibility that could happen during the course of the game. They've got to adjust to how the personnel is dictating what they can do.
He's just getting going. He's realizing how bad the game plan is.
And you're seeing it, like, the other part. Like, we were discussing this as a group, like the idea of Bo Nix balling out yesterday and having a chance to beat Patrick Mahomes.
Yep.
Jaden Daniels yesterday having a chance to win that game against Pittsburgh.
Keep
they
going.
Went back and forth,
keep,
right?
Keep going.
But and then you have Drake May in front of you.
Sure, and the kid in Atlanta hasn't even played yet, but a lot of people still have Penix envy. Thanks, everybody.
You've been dying to use that.
That deserved a rim shot, but
damn
that's
right.
Okay.
Damn it did. Right, damn right it did.
So, but then you have an example.
Thank you to Chris Tannehill for both the writing of the joke and the willingness to let the host say it out loud. It's producer's yeoman work right there.
I mean, this is why he's the best at what he does. But you have an example of what a winning game plan can look like with a rookie quarterback right in front of you. And if you're Moose, you're looking, you're like, wait a minute.
Uh-huh.
Wait a minute here. They're doing the whole thing, and the Bears should be doing that too. This is what he said about the Bears trying to have some simple timing patterns and not working on possible reasons why that might be.
Second and 14, Williams to the sideline wide of Odunze. And now third and 14.
And see, those are some of the pass patterns where when you watch this offense and it seems a little bit out of sync, that's all timing right there. That's just repetition. You know, hitting it every day at practice, you know, individual period. Then you're going to run it one-on-one. Then you're going to run it in seven-on-seven. But that's just a simple timing pattern between quarterback and wide receiver, and it's not close.
He's saying they're not running it at seven-on-seven and in practice. Like, come on, guys. That's what you're doing. Can we hear this one that Tanny pulled about the offense responding poorly?
Sure. Overall?
Let's hear that one.
Six quarters now without a target for Cole Kmet. He's got to get involved in this second half for the Bears offense, doesn't he?
DJ Moore, one catch for -2 yards. I mean, it's unbelievable. We came on the air. You said this is a must-win situation for the Bears. This is a must-score possession. I mean, they were very inept in that first half. They've got to find a way. When they finally got into a rhythm, into the second quarter, it was the structure of the play. It was the design of the play. They are not winning. They are not creating separation on their routes.
Only 87 yards of offense in the first half for Chicago.
Inept, dude. Inept. This offense, man, on the year. You know where they are among 32 teams and third down in the NFL?
Oh, I mean, where'd they go, 1 for 14 yesterday?
Yes.
I'm going to say they're 28th or 29th.
31st. They're ahead of only Cleveland. This is the worst.
You think Cleveland's cool?
This is the worst the Bears have been at third down since 2005. Yesterday they went 3 for 9 on 3rd and 1, 3 for 8 on 3rd and 2. Sorry, that's for the year. Excuse me.
Yeah, they went 1 for 14 yesterday.
They didn't have any attempts of 3rd and 1 or 3rd and 2 yesterday.
They couldn't even get to 3rd and short.
Couldn't even get to it. I mean, they're ahead of only Cleveland. It's insane to me. Absolutely. And in the first quarter on the year, it's even lower, 18% on 3rd down. They're 4 for 22 on the season on 3rd down in the first quarter. They haven't led, right? They haven't led in the first quarter yet.
They have not led. They have not scored first.
In the first quarter.
Like, that's wild. Even against Jacksonville.
Even a blowout win.
Even against Carolina, they didn't score first. It's really, really amazing. So you've heard Moose Johnston, like, continue to kind of be like, well, at first be like, oh, what's this?
And, uh-huh.
Oh, I don't think I like this. And I really don't like this. Now he gets to the point where he is just like everyone else who is watching the Bears offense.
Yeah, you mentioned the passion that this city has for its sports teams, and there was a lot of chatter during the course of the week, number one, about the play calling, that Shane Waldron was on the hot seat, and are we going to do anything there? It pushed its way up to the top, to head coach Matt Eberflus, and you know, that's going to start again. You know, that will be how you start your week after this loss. Is this the right group moving forward? I mean, go back to it, right? It goes all the way back to John Fox.
Yep.
And Mitchell Trubisky. You know, you fire your coach after the first year together with your first round draft pick, and then it goes to Matt Nagy and Justin Fields, and you do the same thing. And it's just a repeated thing. You're not getting this right. You're not getting head coach, quarterback moving together, taking this franchise forward.
And all smiles on the sidelines for Gerard Mayo and company. And Daryl, when you look at this Patriots team, they're going to go home with a lot of good feelings. When you look at this Bears team and that gauntlet ahead, real tough afternoon for Chicago.
Very tough afternoon, and a lot more questions with maybe no answers whatsoever. I've been through this process before. I was on a 1-15 team, and then the following year, you know, we sat at 3-5, and you know, that's 4-22 over the course of a season and a half, and it's hard, you know, to keep that faith and believe in what you're doing, and it takes time, and there is process and progress that you make, and I think that's the frustrating thing this year. In year three, you know, they've got to make that decision. As you pointed out, we've gone with a number one overall pick at quarterback again. Is this the group that you're going to take forward? And with that schedule coming up, you know, it's an opportunity to learn a lot about this team.
Yep.
I mean, you've got six really challenging games coming up. Do you stand pat and let that go, or do you do a New Orleans situation where you fire your coach in the middle of the season?
Now, look, this is a national broadcaster taking 90 seconds at the end of a broadcast to talk about the history of you getting stuff wrong.
Yeah.
And how this looks like that looks.
Amazing. That this knowledge of the entire folly of the place is so pervasive that it's just part of the common knowledge. It's part of the national embarrassment that is this thing.
It's the institution of the Bears on full display and embarrassing yet again. Let's go out to the phones. 312-644-6767. Shad's on the south side. Hey, Shad, you're on the score.
What's up, Shad?
Oh, we lost Shad.
Tim Bianchi here.
Oh, we got you now, Shad.
We got you, man. Nah, Shad's broken up. Let's move on. Who else we got?
How about Romeoville and Greg? Greg, you're on the score.
Greg, we're in Vegas. You're not, but thank you for being with us. Trust us, the Bears' happiness is no better here. What's up, Greg?
Hello again, fellas. I've been calling in for the better part of 2 years saying that Tyson Bagent should be the starting quarterback.
Jesus.
And I'm back again with it because I believe that Caleb has some faults that are not able to be worked out by Shane Waldron. I mean, which is more likely? Shane completely forgot how to coach after turning Geno Smith into a competent quarterback. He completely forgot how to coach.
Yeah, there's some pushback on how involved he was in that.
Yeah, seriously. There's a lot of pushback on how involved he was in that. And the idea of Bagent over Caleb for 2 years and you taking a victory lap on that is freaking gross, frankly. You wanting that for 2 years and using this as an opportunity for a victory lap is pretty disgusting.
Yeah, it's he's not the answer. I like that he's grown into a competent backup.
Sure, that's great. It's an interesting moment that he was warming up yesterday.
Yeah, which I wonder if that played any role into what Adam Schefter was talking about this morning. Matt Eberflus said today that Caleb is still going to be their quarterback. Kyle's out in Naperville. Hey, Kyle, you're on the score.
Hey guys, Spiegel, this is off topic. Has anyone ever told you you look like Man Cow?
Yeah, I've got that before. Thanks so much. Appreciate you.
Anyway,
what else you got?
Do we have buyer's remorse? Should we have stick with Justin? I know the financial implications and stuff like that. Should we have gone a different route? If Mr. Getsy wasn't the answer, I feel like we should have probably stick with Justin, traded the pick, and invest in our offensive line, which we barely never have. The last interior lineman that we got that was good, Kyle Long, that I can remember in recent memory, because I thought Gabe Creamy was supposed to be this.
I mean, that was way before Kyle Long. But look, I think that there could be an argument for it, but that sliding door we can't walk through. I think that there were plenty of people who thought that maybe that was the right way to go, that you put together a bridge contract for Justin Fields that is team-friendly, and then you go and you start looking at what you can get for the number one pick and then draft. You know, if you wanted to draft a quarterback later on in the first round, you could do that. There was
well, let's talk about Lawrence because you were an advocate for that idea for a while. Like, the problem is now that you've seen what you've seen, if they had done that, it's not like they were going to tailor the offense to Justin and just try to win for a little while and, you know, just try to, like, be okay.
I think
you know what I mean?
It's more likely because of the way that Justin runs that you might have been able to Like, you could maybe could have won a game like yesterday where he does two crazy things and you win the game, and maybe you're still five and four
you're five
after
and
that.
Four.
But I get, you know, I don't want to relitigate it. I understand that I lost the Justin Wars. Like, I get that I lost that battle when talking about it, but
you had that glove.
The Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah, you had the gauntlet with the stones on it, and you still lost the Justin Wars. I didn't think it was possible.
Yeah, yeah, but you look at the other quarterbacks; they're out there doing work.
I don't think anybody won the Justin Wars.
I would like. Here's what I would like. I would like better calls today.
We can get them.
Are you sure?
You think so?
No. Shane's frustrated, and I get his frustration. I would like to challenge us as a show.
Our listeners are very, very entertaining. These ones today have been boring as crap. They've been very boring.
I think we can do better. So we're gonna put upon the guys back at the ranch. Say, hey, we want the best of the best, baby. You're the best around.
Nothing's going to bring this show down.
No, not even bad call.
No, sir.
When we come back, though, the worst teammate ever?
I think he might be.
He's in a team photo of worst teammates?
Yeah, maybe people have other ideas, but we got to dissect just how bad of a teammate this is.
We'll do that next here on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
First of all, congratulations. You know, it's nice to have a couple new faces at The Score, and not just kidding. But,
Afternoons on The Score.
Nate Davis came in this morning, as you guys saw, and had back. His back tightened up on him. He saw Andre, the trainer, before the game. Andre ruled him out, and then we sent him home because we don't want a guy standing on 2 feet with the back issue.
He saw Andre the Giant, too.
Andre the Giant picked him up. First, Andre the Trainer saw him, and then Andre the Giant picked up Nate Davis and escorted him out of the building.
A living and healthy Andre the Giant would be so great for the Bears offensive line right now.
living first?
Yeah, he's got to be alive or else, you know.
Yeah.
Then we put him out there, and he's mauling people. That would be good.
Two positions?
I'm just going to make him the left tackle. No.
You got to hand Andre the ball on a fourth and goal. You know what I mean?
Have the ball forward at 7 feet, 450 pounds. He just falls forward.
He can't handle a handoff, though. If they execute it right, maybe.
Yeah, Caleb wouldn't put him over.
Well, be like Hogan.
Seriously, Andre doesn't have the foot speed for tackle, and you know it.
It is a kind of an interesting thing of, like, instead of grabbing the ball, he just grabs Caleb and runs Caleb into the – because, you know, giant
yes.
man. And,
yes. Yeah, like he picked up the Dread Pirate Roberts.
Yeah.
You know?
Just like, accidentally, like, not on purpose, just, like, he's clamping down on the ball, and he's like, oh, I'm sorry, young fellow.
No more screens, and I mean it. Anybody want a peanuts?
That would be awesome. So, you heard Matt Eberflus there.
What did he tell
talking
us?
About the fact that,
dude,
Nate Davis woke up Sunday with some back spasms
when they need him. This is like,
it feels petty.
Oh my God! So put this on top of everything, but start with yesterday. He was going to be on the active roster.
He was probably going to start.
Probably going to start is right. And Ryan Bates would then come in and spell him because Ryan Bates is barely healthy enough to play, let alone play every snap. So he shows up and says he's got a bad back, and they're like, oh, really? Well, you should go home then. Because they don't have to send him home. They could put him upstairs in a suite, nice and comfortable, if they wanted to.
They could have him on the sideline if they wanted. They could have him in a suite. This is what they did to Chase Claypool. They sent Chase to the crib. They're like, no, you can just go home. And I don't want to believe that Nate Davis is as petty as this, but the timing of it leads one to take the logical conclusion of, oh, he practiced all week and was ready to go, and then all of a sudden – he needs a bacchiotomy.
He was not on the injury report all week long.
All week.
And all of a sudden, game day has got a bad back, and they don't like it, then they send him home. He left his team a man down. They were going to have 8 offensive linemen active. Instead, they had 7, and that 7th one, Doug Kramer played a lot and got his ass kicked. And I find myself thinking about him as a bad teammate, and that's why, you know, you teased it as, like, worst teammate ever. And I'm sure there's lots of others. But just in terms of, like, he took the big money and had his issues last year, and the team supported him. This is the part I can't stop thinking about. All the opportunities to bury his ass publicly, and they never did it.
Not once.
They never, ever did it. Last year, he got 2 games off for a death in the family, which is a lot, frankly,
but everyone mourns in a different way.
He got the hug from Eberflus publicly at the practice last year. That affected a lot of people and gave him a lot of compassion. Even during press conferences this year, and he said, respectfully, I'm not going to talk about
that. Or I'm going to go play ping pong.
Right. All of that. And the team never once buried him. And yesterday they need him, and all of a sudden he's got a bad back.
They should bury him for the roster spot now. Like, if your back's bad? Okay. Wave injured. Okay. Cool. Because we need people to play. Or we're going to put you on IR, and we're going to send you home.
So what do you mean? Like, how can that damage him instead of just cutting him?
No,
you know what I mean?
I'm saying that would be one of the measures that you could use. It's a different designation. But
right.
If you want to IR him, I'm okay with that too. But you want space on your – I would just – to me, and I don't know what the inner workings are in the building, this seems like a guy who shouldn't be there anymore.
Yeah, no,
he's
for
not,
sure.
He's not helping your cause – at all.
Yeah, no, he's not. And he is, you don't like to call athletes dogs.
And I hate to say that guys quit. I hate it.
He's a dog with fleas, man. You got to call it. And we've seen it now for a while, and we heard some stuff off the air, but yesterday is the straw that broke the back, whether it's a camel or otherwise.
Or Nate's.
Maybe so.
That it was a straw that broke his back and made it so that he was not available.
By the way, Caleb keeps saying we're not running on cylinders. Have you guys noticed this? That he says...
In not all cylinders?
Yeah, he just says we're not running on cylinders. And I think you need the qualifier that it's all cylinders.
What,
right?
Are they on a bike? Maybe that's why the offense sucks so much. They got mules carrying them.
Do electric cars have cylinders?
No.
I don't believe so.
No, they don't.
Maybe, you know, Caleb, since he's been driving, he's only been driving electric. And so when he hears that colloquialism, he's like, I don't know what that means.
All right, so I guess the grid shut down a lot sooner than we thought, and that's why the offense isn't working. That's why the electric cars don't work.
That's what it is.
Got to get that diesel.
That diesel. You got to get it. It's very important.
No, I think he's just... It's
we're pro-gasoline.
It's just one that he got wrong. That
we found that out last night, didn't we?
I'm kind of surprised we aligned on that.
Like heavy fuel, too, you know?
Yeah, and their crew.
One right, room's here.
I'm right here for you, baby. Yeah, you guys, Shane and Lawrence, you guys aligned on pro-diesel, right?
That's right.
Pro-diesel, anti-electric.
Right. Not anti-electric.
Oh, I am. I'm sorry. I won't speak for you.
All right. I was just saying. You know,
I hate the environment.
You know, just in case. You know, just in case that there...
It's going to happen.
There might be some people that might want to take advantage of... your dependency on a grid, just in case, maybe have a gasoline car that can get you out of trouble.
Brother, Russia and China are all over the place. We know that. They will impede again.
They're mostly in Russia and China, I think, in terms of where they are.
This is a big land mass.
Well, some people would disagree, but that's neither here nor there.
No, it's not.
When we come back, Mark Grody is going to join us. We are going to get a Bears hit. 2 words from him. There is a lot to discuss, and he is going to walk you through all of the things that weren't said at a press conference today. That's next here on The Score.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.